You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode as we get back in our seats to deliver you some useful information. So whether you're just here to fly for fun, or you're starting a business, or you're not starting a business, you're deep into a business, and you're here to pick up some tactics, maybe some habits, maybe some routines that other people do. Either way, greatly appreciate that you are here with us today. My name is Paul.
And my name is Rob, and absolutely grateful that you're spending a few minutes with your friends here at Drone U. We appreciate it very much, and welcome you to episode 1035.
Definitely excited to have you guys here. We've got an interesting question today. You know, we've talked about this, you know, numerous times. We've talked about, you know, when you see other people doing things with their drones, maybe that they shouldn't be doing, what do you do? Well, we're not really here to talk about that today. We've got kind of a different spin on the question, and it's really revolving around the FPV community. And actually, recently, I dived pretty deep with Haya because, you know, we're talking about doing a CineWhoop class. We want to, you know, we've got the race course here at the headquarters training center. And it made me think about how some of the CineWhoopers are flying some of these missions, like some of the stuff that Johnny FPV does. So the question is really about licensing FPV. And now that we have these new recreational rules, what is going to happen? How will the FPV community change? All topics for our discussion today. Also, really quick, just wanted to give everyone a quick notice. I know this show is going out last minute, but if you want to sign up last minute to our upcoming NTSB accident reconstruction class, you can sign up last minute. We're going to actually be going over PIX4D React. We kind of threw that in the curriculum last minute because, you know, when it comes to public safety, when it comes to mapping, being able to understand PIX4D React, which is great for disaster response, I think is just more added value. So make sure you go to our website, go to training events, and it's the second, I think it's the second or third event that's right there, and sign up. You could reach out to me if you'd like a discount to sign up. So nice. Anyway, all right, well, let's go ahead and let's hear that question, Rob.
Hey, Drone U. This is Brian with Drones Unlimited. Reaching out about the FPV scene, so the FPV freestyle and racing. I'm sure there's a company or two that we can think off the top of our head that has a massive following on Facebook and YouTube. Now, with that following, they're obviously profiting from. So when they post a video showing their brand, their apparel, that's how they make money. Fair enough. That's how business works. But what concerns me is that these FPV businesses that are using YouTube and their flying skills to advertise, they're also showing what not to do, in my opinion, right? You know, not registering your drone, going to a construction site that's active and flying it around really close to everything, and then not disclosing how to do it safely, how to register your drone, or what to do if you crash it there. Because in my head, I'm pretty sure I could be wrong, but if you trespass on an active construction site, I think that's a felony, but I could be wrong. But of course, you know, I'd like to hear your thoughts on these big FPV communities leveraging their community that they've built up with videos that are technically reckless flying at, you know, sites that you probably shouldn't be at. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts about that, because that seems to be the direction for some of these FPV businesses. But anyways, thanks for what you guys do. I've been watching you guys since the 333 days. So keep it up, Paul. Take care. Bye.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate the question. And I think a lot of people have been wondering about this, frankly, including the FPV community, because there's been some question, right, as to what they are allowed to do. I guess it's probably been firmed up a little bit lately.
I would say with, you know, the advent of what the FAA is putting out with their new recreational rules,
right?
Keyword recreational. It's kind of like part 107 or nothing at this point, at least with some of the restrictions that they've put out there. So, you know, he brings up some great points here, Rob. And like I said, you know, I actually went down the rabbit hole to find out if a lot of FPV racers actually do have their Part 107 license. You know, we had an FPV racer here who was getting his Part 107, and not sure what actually happened with Sean, if he finished it or not.
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
Because, you know, Sean, he's a great guy, does lots of racing, but there are other racers that also make money with their vehicles, and one of them is Johnny FPV, and actually did a bunch of background research on him, and come to find he does have his Part 107 license. Right. So I think because DRL and a couple of these other associations that are for racing have been kind of pushing, you know, that FPV racers really should have a Part 107 license, even as recently, Kevin Morris with the FAA did a show with the, I guess the FAA has a show now.
they do have some webinars, yes.
And he actually did it with DRL. And I didn't actually get to watch it. I didn't get to see what had kind of transpired there. I'm sure it was some very classic FAA speak going on. But, you know, that being said, there are a lot of FPV racers that actually do have their Part 107 license. But, you know, he brings up a great question, Rob, because if you're flying at a construction site and it's active and you break a drone, do you think you're actually going to get that drone back? That is a solid question.
Yeah, for sure. But one of the things I wonder is, I think maybe we might be making an assumption here that they don't have permission to fly there. I mean, there's a chance that they do. Right?
A lot of people are getting paid high dollar amounts to do Cinewhoop flying, which is like mini FPV with a, you know, with a GoPro on top of it, and utilizing a program like RealSteady to smoothen up the footage. So
yeah, I mean, I will say, I'm sure there are a lot of folks out there that are in the FPV community that are sort of rebellious, perhaps.
What gives you that idea, Rob?
Just a hunch. Just a hunch.
Well, I think it's a hunch that serves correct, but I believe that, FPV racing was really kind of born out of, out of the DIY community. So I think it's kind of, you know, I don't want to say that every FPV racer is rebellious because they're not.
Right.
Now, as a large majority, sure. But it's going to be really interesting to see how these new recreational rules play out and how or what the effect will be on FPV racers. As, you know, the FAA now makes it very clear, you know, you got to register your drone. They're handing out fines. They're not handing out as many fines as what they're talking about, but it is happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they actually have changed the recreational rules to be what they are now, which is essentially, you know, certain exemptions to Part 107, it really begs the question of, you know, are they planning on enforcing against, you know, some of these racers?
Mm-hmm.
In addition, you know, are we going to be looking at, you know, quote unquote, reckless flight differently? Because here's the thing, Rob, you know, a lot of these Cinewhoop drones have ducted fans. So essentially it's like a prop surrounded by a wall.
Right.
Helps increase thrust by approximately 23 to 29%. And here's the thing, though, that also protects the propeller. So how dangerous really is the drone? I mean, like, I'm trying to take this objectively from both sides here. If I'm an FPV racer, you know, yeah, there are definitely things that, you know, FPV racers do that totally violate the rules, whether that's enforced or not, has really yet to be seen. Now, in addition, though, let's look at this from the other side of the equation with, you know, with these ducted fan drones, these Cinewhoop drones, these small drones, how dangerous really are they?
Mm-hmm.
And does the interpretation change from the enforcers at large? Because that really begs a question, you know, are they inherently safer or are they not? Well, I've seen some pretty crazy videos myself, some pretty cool ones. But, you know, he's right. There are a lot of people out there and there is a very large group. I think I know who he's talking about. Who just post videos for attention. And, you know, it's kind of a life lesson here, Brian, which is you can't believe everything that you read. And man, that could not be more true on YouTube. We do not put a lot of our training content on YouTube because it's been copied over and over again. So our deep training secrets have never made it to YouTube. And it shows because I think a lot of the YouTube trainers and whatnot, even that, you know, drone launch people right out of their, you know, right out of their backyard, they're taking whatever they can find off of YouTube and aggregating it. And there's a life lesson here, you know, about what you can really believe. And I mean, you have to ask yourself, those people who, you know, they're posting to YouTube, they're just trying to get whatever they can. It's more about attracting attention and being relevant than really thinking about things in the long term and really deep diving into some of these decisions to say, how is this going to affect me down the line? How is, you know, if I do something and I screw up, how is that going to affect my ability to fly? Yeah. I don't think we're there right now, but I think that the day and the age is definitely coming. And it just goes to show that, you know, Brian's saying a lot of these people, hey, they're doing things and, you know, these big groups are pushing their videos. Look, you know, it's to get attention. You know, that's great. It's fine, whatever. But long-term effects, these people are not thinking long-term effects, which also...
You mean on the industry, not on themselves personally.
Yeah, on themselves as well. Okay. On themselves as well.
Yeah.
But this also brings up the point of, you know, let's say enforcement does happen and we start seeing less and less of these videos online. The door is wide open and the opportunity is wide open for a lot of these Part 107 pilots who have a reputation for safety to, you know, go into CineWhoop and really just, you know, nix the competition, frankly. Now, that being said, there are a lot of FPV racers.
Absolutely.
Hundreds of thousands of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we really haven't seen anything from, you know, the FAA on this. And it just brings up another issue, an issue that we've been going over with Balloon Fiesta, which is, you know, when there are forms of technology like this, there should be systematic forms to allow this technology to operate, you know, properly. And there's been a negative attitude against FPV racers from the FAA. I mean, there's a lot of FISDO guys that absolutely hate drone pilots and will not work with you. And I think the FAA at the top, national, is trying to work on that.
FPV or not, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that attitude is exacerbated on FPV racers, which is unfortunate because, you know, they're not all bad people.
No, it kind of reminds me of like the early days. Of course, I would say FPV racing was around before sort of the modern day world of drones and drone industry, but it reminds me of the early days of snowboarding, right? Mm. And snowboarders had a horrible reputation and they were tearing up mountains and they couldn't even fly in certain mountains. I mean, not fly.
depends on how you ride though, Rob.
Some of them fly. Anyways, it's just kind of that same kind of culture. A couple things that I'll say. One is that, Brian, I mean, what you're seeing is what you're seeing, right? So that's happening. I think it's not that different than some of the older RC guys, right? That are sort of bucking against the system because they're saying, look, we've been doing things for literally decades and we're not hurting anybody. And why are you messing with us?
Yeah, the AMA definitely has that track, right? They're like, hey, we've been around longer than the FAA.
Yeah, which is completely irrelevant when it really comes down to it.
Agreed.
But it's kind of the similar paradigm. But it makes me think of like a sporting event. If you're an athlete and you kind of are pushing the envelope with the rules and maybe you're a defensive back in a football game and you're kind of holding and not letting the receiver get away and you're getting away with it, you're going to keep doing it until you're held accountable, right? And so that's how I see this going. I mean, it's not, generally speaking, it's not, and I don't mean this disparagingly at all. I just mean this in terms of what we know about most of the sort of FPV community, they're probably not going to change unless they're asked unless they're made to.
Unless they're forced to change, yeah.
Right?
No, it's a good point. Also, none of those drones have geofencing. So that whole, you know, FAA, if you're in controlled airspace and, you know, you have to get a Lance authorization, I have yet to see a single FPV racer do that.
Right.
So there's that. But I could be wrong again. You know, there could be guys out there doing it. And
probably are.
And I'm sure there are. And I think it's probably a good thing. But, you know, again, there's just a lot of life lessons here for Brian and for myself and for you and for our listeners, which is, you know what, guys, you can't control what you can't control. And a minute wasted focusing on these other people who may be flying for money or not for money, breaking the rules or not breaking the rules, probably breaking the rules. A minute wasted focusing on them is a minute that you're not spent marketing your business, or it's a minute that you're not spent happy, or it's a minute spent not doing something else that's productive to your growth.
Yeah.
Remember, you can't control what you can't control, so let it go. I know that's probably not what he wants to hear, but at the end of the day, in order to remain, you know, sane, you're not going to benefit the community as a whole by playing drone police.
Right.
I used to be all about that. Used to all be like, hey, you know, tell people what to do, call FISDO. But I've been finding some FISDO people don't even know the rules. So I've been getting kind of fired up about that. But that being said, long and the short of it, guys, is that, you know, you have to make a decision here. If you're flying FPV and you are uploading your videos to YouTube and you're selling things from those videos, or you're making money from ad revenue, you know, FAA talks about that in Part 107 very specifically, at least in the 700-page document. So I would say the time is coming. You know, you got to make a decision. This is kind of goes back to my my conversation about bikes on tramway. You've got to make a decision here.
Exactly.
Is your business worth the risk? And then, you know, some people will be like, oh, well, no, you know, or yes, it is worth the risk. And then my next question would be, well, is happiness worth the risk? If you're the guy that gets dinged and you're shut down or you're fined and something happens, you know, is it really worth it? And then the next question is, let's, you know, FPV racers are innately more dangerous, not the Cinewhoop ones, but the larger ones. You know, what happens if someone gets hurt, if someone, you know, doesn't have a 107, you know, the insurance company is going to nuck and they're going to buck and they're not going to be happy. And the person that they're going to be going after is you. And, you know, I will never forget, you know, I had that car accident down in Roswell last year. And I got a phone call from the insurance company about 2 months later. And they're like, Mr. Aiken, you know, we just want to say, you know, we hope everything is okay. Thanks for remaining a customer with us, blah, 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 blah. We intend on suing the other party relentlessly until we get our money back.
Yeah.
And like, I felt bad for the lady just hearing that on the phone. You know what I mean? It's just like, what a scary thing to deal with. You know, what a scary thing to deal with. So you got to ask yourself that question, you know, is it worth it? And I said, this is a lot like the conversation of bikes on tramway. Tramway is a highway here, here in Albuquerque. And there are bikers all the time riding on the side of the highway, even though there's a bike trail next to the road. And, you know, finally, you know, a biker almost hit Sarah yesterday as we were driving home. Like, she really paying attention. She barely avoided it.
Wow.
And I rolled my window down as I pulled up next to the biker at a stoplight, because I know why all these bikers don't use the trail, because they have to slow down at the lights. They have to pass people. Wham, wham, wham. Cry about it. I don't care. Because at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself a question. Is going faster really worth your life? Because as a biker on a highway, if you get hit, the biker is at fault because you're not allowed to bike on a highway.
Oh, you're talking about bicycle.
Bicycle, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Bicycle.
Okay.
Sorry, bicycle. But it's a good, in my opinion, the analogy is there, because with flying, you know, is flying against the grain and not according to the rules worth the risk of eliminating that happiness for the rest of your life?
No.
I don't think so either. So, but that's why I also said at the very beginning of the show, I think a lot of FPV racers are getting their 107s.
Yeah, I think so. And I wonder ultimately if the impact on their life and the things that they like to do would be anywhere near as intrusive as they think it would be. Right? Meaning if they follow the rules, it's probably hardly going to affect them. They're going to most likely in most cases be able to continue doing things the way they always have. Mm-hmm. They're now just doing it legally.
Yep.
So it's probably not as impactful on you guys that are flying FPV and doing it outside of the rules, shall we say, to follow the rules as you think it might be. And I'm sure there are exceptions to that. There are exceptions to everything said into every rule. Yep. But we do hope that you guys that Brian is referring to, whoever that is, kind of hop on board and help the industry get better.
I think it helps everyone as a whole. I mean, that's what we preach here. That's why we are here for DroneU. And I think that's why a lot of members support us. But yeah, I think it's a good point. I don't really want to talk about it much more because, again, we cannot control what we cannot control. So use that, you know, use that energy, use that frustration for good. And think about an article you can write for your blog about how easy it is to, you know, become a licensed Part 107 FPV pilot and the benefits of that. That could be a great way to educate people.
Yeah.
And just say, you know, a lot of people are ignoring this simple 60-question test, but here's why it may benefit you in the long run. That could be something that may have an impact. Because again, we get more bees with honey than we do with vinegar. On that bombshell, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Paul. Send us your questions, AskDroneU.com. Actually, my name is Rob. I don't know why I did that. Anyways, send us your questions.
Yes, please do. Thanks for watching another episode of Ask DroneU.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.